good afternoon, and welcome to Stir It Up. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls, and we're going to be talking about, guess what? Elections today. Here we are, less than 1 week away from this election season that seems like it will never end. But we just got one more week of the torture, and then it's going to be over. And joining me in the studio is Michael Evans, who's the chair of the Democratic Party here in Fresno, to kind of help us wade through. We've got, I don't know, I guess we had a voter guide that was longer than War and Peace or something. Help us wade through this incredibly long ballot that we're faced with, and some of the other challenges and bumps in the road we might hit as we're trying to make it to election day and get our vote in there and get it to count. So sure. Welcome to the studio, Michael.
Good afternoon.
And so let's just start off with, of course, we've all been bombarded with everything about emails and sexual assaults and all this kind of stuff, and the 24/7 cable news cycle. Mm-hmm. So what, in kind of a nutshell, what is really going on here? What's at stake? And, give us kind of an overview of what the election will bring.
Well, I think at the national level, it's truly incredible what's at stake, because I think the direction of the country for the next generation is going to be determined in this election. And in the unfortunate event that Mr. Trump should be elected, that would give the right wing control of all three branches of government, and with complete control of the Supreme Court, essentially could do anything they want, and would make it very difficult for us to turn things around in the future.
Yeah, they would be able to control, like, the whole voting process and everything, right?
The voting process, our access to media, our access to free speech. I mean, it's all on the table.
Right, right, right. So everything that we think of as our form of government, right?
Exactly.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's on that light note. So let's talk a little bit about the whole totality of the ballot and you know, what there's the top of the ticket, which everybody's pretty focused on. There's some of the down ballot stuff with the different lesser races, and then of course there's the whole 17 proposition. So talk about that.
Well, the propositions, there's 17 propositions on the ballot in California, statewide propositions. Now there's some local ones as well. Of the statewide propositions, 15 of them were placed there by, quote, citizen initiative, and two of them were placed there by the legislature. And because there's so many of them, there hasn't been a lot of publicity about each of them. There's some that we've seen a lot more advertising and a lot more information on, but for the most part, people have to kind of go fishing for information to learn a little about them, and I hope today we can shed some light on that.
Okay, well, why don't we go through them and then maybe have some information where people can go to look for additional information.
Sure.
Also.
Absolutely. So the numbering this year is from 51 through 67. So we'll start with Prop 51, and it's a pretty simple one in that it just provides $9 billion in general obligation funds for school construction. This particular one, both the Democrats and the Republicans are in agreement on it. That's rare, but it helps to fund schools. It is construction. It doesn't go to pay employees or anything like that. So that's Prop 51, and again, both
this
Democrats and Republicans are saying yes.
Okay, so just about all the major institutions are saying yes.
Yeah.
And it just build new schools for us.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So Prop 52... takes an existing fee on private hospitals, and it makes that fee permanent, and it makes it a little more difficult for the legislature to change that bill. And that revenue goes to create some state savings and for low-income Californians. Again, this is one of only three that both the Democrats and the Republicans are in agreement on. Both are supporting it.
So it just generates some funds for people who wouldn't otherwise have access
yes.
to medical.
And its existing measure just being continued permanently.
Okay.
So Prop 53. So Prop 53 basically would require for any state project that costs more than $2 billion, it would have to go to a statewide initiative in order to move that forward. This is essentially a proposal just designed to muck up the process. It would make it more difficult to do projects that cost an enormous amount of money, number one, or you would see those projects being broken down so that none of them ever actually cost more than $2 billion. So on this one, you start to see disagreement between the parties. Democrats are saying no to this one, and the Republicans are saying yes.
Yeah, I know there's two really big projects, right, that this would apply to right now, right? The high-speed rail, mm-hmm. and then there's the double tunnel or whatever
Correct.
It is speak for, mm-hmm. which probably most people can disagree with one of those.
Right. Exactly.
Right. The other thing that I wanted to kind of just bring up about this and just that, came to my attention on it was the, we went through the last 20, 30 years of this, incredible explosion of prison building.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the analysis on that was that this was able to happen without any vote among the population. Nobody ever had to vote and say, yes, we want more prisons, mm-hmm. right? But that there was kind of this way to just do it without ever calling that question. So, I guess I have a little bit of sympathy for it just
right.
because, probably most people wouldn't say, yes, let's spend $100 billion on building more prisons if they would have ever had that question put before them.
Right, but then because of the way the proposition process is set up, we would have had the option to gather signatures to oppose that. It would be an enormous undertaking. But
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that's just, kind mm-hmm. of one of the things in terms of my, work. I've, done, the criminal justice reform work and just, that is something that really struck me as that we spent all this money that
right.
was never ever, the citizenry was never asked whether they wanted to spend that money. So, but this is just basically do that. But most of the time it's to build something that probably is good most of the time. Right. Not all the time.
Right.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go on.
Okay. So Prop 54 is a procedural measure. It requires a 72-hour notice for legislators for any piece of legislation that they're going to be voting on, and then it sets up certain requirements for videotaping and audiotaping of various government bodies. So on this particular one, the Peace and Freedom Party actually had an interesting assessment on Prop 54. They said it looks like a Republican answer to a dispute between the two major parties about the level of transparency. And from everything I've been able to see, that sums it up pretty well. Mm-hmm. This essentially would make it easier for established corporate entities to sort of slow down the legislative process. So the Democrats are opposing this one and the Republicans are supporting it.
Okay. And, of course, the Republicans they used to be able to stop stuff because we had a supermajority type mm-hmm. Threshold that had to be met.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since they don't meet, since they're in the minority, it seems like forever,
yeah. right.
they haven't been able to stop stuff.
So they need creative new ways to
try to stop stuff.
Okay, so Prop 55. Prop 55 extends Prop 30, which we passed in 2012, and that is a tax on very high-income individuals that goes to support education. This was the single measure that gave Governor Brown the leverage to get us out of the recession. So it was hugely beneficial. Prop 55 continues that, and obviously Democrats are supporting it, but the Republicans are opposing it.
And, of course, it's the money that's coming down from the state for the schools.
Yes.
And even
directly
with,
benefits
and
schools.
Even with this money, we're still among the lowest of all the 50 states.
Exactly.
And how much that we spend on schools.
Right.
Right. Right.
So we absolutely need it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it still doesn't move us up the ladder, but we can at least maintain our status quo.
At least maintain. And and it's I believe it's people make what $250,000
yeah.
a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a pretty. Not too many in my neighborhood make
right.
that kind of money.
Right.
So, of course, we've had all kinds of fights here about how the money gets spent and all
right.
that. But that's a discussion for another day.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Prop 56 is the cigarette tax. It adds a $2 tax to each pack of cigarettes. And it defines some of these newer nicotine products as, in fact, tobacco products and also taxes them. Pretty basic. It's designed to decrease the amount of, the number of people who are using these products, but puts the money back into health-related
mm-hmm.
concerns.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you know, I think is pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah, right. But I'm sure the tobacco companies
yes.
are spending a lot.
Democrats are supporting it. Republicans are opposing it.
Right.
So Prop 57... Prop 57 builds on Prop 47, which we passed in 2014, and it does a couple of things. It restores the authority of judges rather than prosecutors to determine if juveniles should be tried as adults. And it's generally thought that judges are a little more rational about this than prosecutors
are. Impartial, possibly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So... that, and then it also does create some additional categories for felons to get parole earlier so that we can start getting folks out of the prison system. As with 47, there are some peripheral things that need to be done that aren't actually included in the proposition.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, this is a direction we need to be going.
To get less people in the
exactly.
in the prison system
mm-hmm.
and get people out without them spending an inordinate amount of time in prison.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 58 has to do with English language education. And this essentially tries to fix a couple of propositions that were passed in the 90s. Which were sort of focused on English-only education. This allows schools to have more resources and more options in terms of educating students in their first language. Obviously we're going to have a better educated society if we can reach students in more ways. Everyone understands that they're going to learn English to function in our mainstream society. But there's no reason why we shouldn't be educating folks in their native language as well.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And it would give some chance for monolingual English speakers to learn a second language also?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Prop 59. Prop 59 is an unusual proposition that doesn't affect the legislation, and it's not an amendment to the Constitution. It is advisory. And in this particular case, it would be the citizenry advising our legislators that we want them to take action in whatever way they can to overturn Citizens United, whether that be in the form of a constitutional amendment or, you know, just whatever steps we could take. So obviously, I think everybody agrees money has increasingly poisoned politics since the Citizens United decision came down. And now I will say that the League of Women Voters had an unusual opposition to this. Their reasoning was a constitutional amendment can't happen, therefore they oppose this particular legislation.
Why would they say it
well,
can't happen?
Well, because of the difficulty in making it happen, needing 3/4 of the states. While that is a high hurdle,
mm-hmm.
I would agree with them in that regard. I think it's still very important for us to be on record as a state that we are opposed to this and start moving the steps forward, even if it's short of a constitutional amendment, to start breaking down Citizens United.
I know people often put that up, that, oh, you can't pass a constitutional amendment. But there have been ones that have been, I mean, in the fairly recent past, that have passed that made huge differences. You know, I know certainly the 18-year-old to vote, that's been correct. In our lifetime anyway, yeah. right? Yeah. So it's not like it's, you know, it's sort of put up there as impossible. But and it does seem that there is... a large consensus about the problem of money in politics. Of course, the people that have money love it a whole lot.
Right.
But there's a whole lot of people that aren't in that kind of that position to do it. Right. So, but we don't really know what it's just expressing a public support that
correct.
We want this fixed.
Right? Exactly.
Right.
Okay. So, Prop 60 has to do with requiring performers in adult films to use condom. And deals with some other health-related issues around participants in adult films. You read this, it sounds really good, but when you get to the fine print, essentially what it does is it makes it an open forum for anyone who has a difficulty or has a problem with anybody doing work in the adult film industry to sue them. And... like if you're watching one of these movies and someone isn't wearing a condom, you can actually sue that individual the way this legislation is set up. It's very bizarre, and it's another one of these that's just so deceptively written that people are probably going to vote the wrong way on it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I look at it and, you know, having been, you know, working in labor all my life, I'm like, this seems like a pretty straightforward health and safety issue. I mean, obviously, it's tremendous risk that these people are taking in this industry, and it seems all but sensible that they would protect themselves.
The Free Speech Coalition actually said that it would actually harm the workers rather than help them. And this is I mentioned earlier that there were three propositions that on which the Democrats and the Republicans agreed. This is the third and final one, and both are opposed to it.
Wow. Huh. Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So Prop 61, it's probably the one we've seen the most publicity on, both for and against. What it will actually do is bring down certain drug prices to the price that the Department of Veteran Affairs pays, which is generally thought to be the most attractive pricing available. This, I believe, applies only to 12% of the folks in California who are insured. So it's a first step. So the good news is that for those people affected, it would reduce their prices. The concern raised by those opposing it is that because it only affects one small group of pricing, it could increase the pricing for everybody else. So this one, we did as a local party, we took a yes position on it. The state party did not take a position. The Republicans have taken a no position on it. I would encourage people to just sit down with this one and make their own decision.
Well, I mean, it's so, number one, it's so obvious that the pharmaceutical industry has really been in indulging in a practice of price gouging.
Right.
And they seem to be pretty able to do that pretty much with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some cases we can shame them.
Right.
When it's particularly egregious, but it's pretty out of control.
Right. Well, there's no issue with the intent of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the intent of matching the lowest possible prices is outstanding. But because it only affects such a small portion of the folks who are insured, there is the potential that it creates a pricing disparity.
Do I know why they didn't write it more broadly?
You have to ask the people who
have to. Right, right. And, of course, then there's been huge amount of money that the pharmaceutical industry is investing in this and using sort of these surrogates to talk them.
Mm-hmm. So this is one that, because you're getting so much from both sides, it's very difficult to weed through what's accurate and what isn't.
Okay. And we're talking to Michael Evans, who is the chair of the Democratic Party here in Fresno County. And we're talking about the propositions. There's 17 of them. And We've gotten, you know, 2/3 of the way through, so we're doing pretty good. So that one's a tough one, 61. And there's tons and tons of, I mean, I've probably gotten about 20 mailers this, right? Okay, then let's move on.
Okay, so Prop 62, very simple, repeals the death penalty. And for anyone who's currently on death row, it changes their sentence to life without parole. You need to look at 62 in conjunction with 66. 66 is designed to do the opposite, which is to make it more difficult for someone to go through the appeal process to have their death penalty addressed. So the simple version is yes on 62 to repeal the death penalty and no on 66 to avoid mucking up that decision. Of course, the Democrats are supporting 62. The Republicans are opposing it.
Okay.
Okay, so 63 has to do with ammunition sales. It also requires that if your firearms or ammunition are stolen, you are required to report that. Large capacity ammunition magazines, it becomes illegal to even possess those. And create some more significant requirement around background checks for ammunition, not only firearms themselves. This, you know, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom's been a strong supporter of this for a number of years, it really is moving us in a very positive direction. Obviously, law enforcement has some concerns about it. And they're actually exempted from the high or large capacity magazines. But overall, I believe this is the direction that we need to go in terms of sensible regulations on guns and ammunition.
So it's something we can do on the state level, in, even though on the national level there hasn't been any action. And it really is the large capacity stuff, so people can't kill tens of people at one time. They have to actually make more effort to do that. Okay.
And so that takes us to Prop 64. This is the very popular one, legalization of marijuana. Mm-hmm. So it would legalize marijuana even for recreational use for anyone 21 or older. They could grow, possess, and use it and create some regulations around how it's sold and how it can be advertised. So this pretty much speaks for itself, and we've seen similar things in other states now. And the polling in California has been increasing for this for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm. So it polls very high.
Yes. So likely to pass.
Right.
Again, Democrats are supporting it, and Republicans are not. Oddly, the Libertarians are opposing it.
Oh, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine what their argument would be.
Right.
Because they're usually very much on
exactly.
All drugs should be, legal, right?
Mm-hmm. So that takes us to 65, Prop 65, and we should really deal with Prop 65 and 67 together. So Prop 67 essentially verifies the legislation that was already in place to eliminate plastic bags in retail stores. The legislation passed that, then there was a stay to get it put on the ballot to have a public referendum on it. So the referendum just says the law should proceed.
Mm-hmm.
65 was a confusing initiative that was written to kind of muck up the idea of what a plastic bag ban would mean, and to try and put some fees on bags that would go, seemingly go to good sources if we had those. So what we're encouraging is yes on 67, no on 65. And of course the Republicans are the opposite on that.
Okay.
So that pretty much gets us through the 17 propositions.
Well, let me just ask for a second. Say, there's this ban that was passed by the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
What would actually happen at the grocery store or the drugstore or whatever?
So you would have either paper bags, that would mm-hmm. be your option, or, you know, to bring your own.
Your own canvas yeah. bags or mm-hmm. whatever, right. Mm-hmm. And then if you use the paper bag, they could charge you for it, or?
Well, that's what 65 would set up as a fee for that.
Oh, but otherwise it would just be a paper bag yes. or your own canvas bag
correct.
Or whatever. So mm-hmm. it wouldn't mean that you would actually necessarily have to pay for the bag to
correct.
Carry the items out. It just means you couldn't use plastic bags.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
You could bring your own plastic bags.
If you really wanted to, right. All right. Well, we have just a couple minutes left, this is KFCF Fresno, 88.1. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. You're listening to the Stir It Up Show. We're talking to Michael Evans, the chair of the Fresno County Democratic Party, and we just went through the propositions. Just maybe if we could take a couple minutes, and I personally have been knocking lots of doors, particularly in Kings County.
Thank you very much.
And so just kind of go through some of the things about... I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about their how to vote, because mm-hmm. even though it seems like we're trying to make it easier, there's more questions, right?
Right, right.
So I wanted to go through a few of those. One of them is, one question is, suppose you are a vote by mail, you're on the vote by mail list, but you didn't get your ballot, or you lost it, or the dog ate it, or whatever. Mm-hmm. What should you do in that case?
Yeah, so if you are a vote by mail voter and did not get your ballot, you can show up at your polling site on election day and vote. And if you have not previously voted, they'll just let you go ahead and vote normally. If it appears your ballot has been returned, then you will vote provisionally, and they'll work that out. But I would suggest that you do try and contact the registrar's office in advance. And you can also go to the registrar's office and vote in person. And they're going to be open through Saturday for that purpose as well. So you can still vote, even if you did not get your vote by mail ballot. And so do not give up.
Okay. And so what about mailing it? One stamp, two stamps, no stamps? What are all the...
One stamp's fine. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be postmarked by election day to arrive within 3 days after that, which it almost certainly will. But it has to be in the mail by election day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it has to be signed on the back, right?
Definitely sign it on the back.
Right, right.
And that signature should match the signature that you used when you registered to vote.
Whenever that was. Right, right. Okay, what about, let's talk about Election Day for a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know where to vote? How do we find the right place to vote? What do we do if they don't want to, if they say that we're not on the list?
Well, the polls are open on Election Day from 7 a.m. in the morning until 8 at night. You can find out where you vote. First, you should have gotten something in the mail that told you where your voting or your polling site is. If you didn't get that, or if you misplaced it, then you can go to the registrar site, the Fresno County Registrar, and you can enter your address, and your polling site will come up where you need to go to do that. And once you are at your polling site, you should not leave until you have been allowed to vote. So if for whatever reason they don't have your name on the list, or they're telling you you can't vote for whatever reason, do not accept that. If you are there, you should vote a provisional ballot.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for getting us all prepared for the big day, Election
right.
Day.
Thank you.
And hopefully some of us have already voted and are moving that along. Thank you very much, Michael Evans, the chair of the Fresno County Democratic Party. You've been listening to the Stir It Up Show. This is I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls. And now we're going to take you back to KPFA.